Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight that we are gathered in this place. Father, us with you and you with us, that makes us a majority. That makes us a majority, Lord, in the business arena and in the marketplace. Father, thank you that you are here tonight to teach us your word concerning success in business. In particular, Father, as I share your word with your people tonight, I trust you for revelation knowledge to flow from my spirit to my understanding regarding this repositioning for success in this new season. Father, I thank you for the new season. Although things are not new for you, Lord, for us they are new, and so I thank you that by your Spirit you share these new things with us in Jesus' name. Father, I yield myself to your Spirit to speak the oracles of God, to speak the Word of God, for your Word to be ignited in my Spirit and for revelation to flow from my Spirit to my understanding, for me to correctly articulate the Word to your people tonight. Thank you for the anointing that is upon your Word and that is a resident within your Word. This anointing not only breaks, but destroys every yoke that holds us back from entering into the fullness of that which you have for us as business people. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before I start teaching about a repositioning for success in this new season that we're in, I would like to share some of the topics and some of the points I'll be covering during these sessions. One of the topics I'll be covering in the weeks to come is, first of all, how to align our vision with God's vision for 2000 and beyond. Granted, we are already in 2005, but that's what the Lord said to me. How for us to align our vision with His vision for 2000 and beyond. This is very important as we need to have God's vision for our lives, not necessarily our own vision. We need to have God's vision. We need to be able to discern and understand how and why God is doing what He is doing. Why is there a new season? We need to discover God's dream for our lives, our ministries, our households, our families, and obviously as business people, for our businesses. Scripture teaches us that there are many voices in the world, and these voices can create dreams in our hearts that are not God's dreams for our lives. They are not God's dreams for our ministries or families or our businesses. So we need to discover God's dream. And in order to understand God's dream for our lives, we need to hear His voice. I will also be teaching on how we can hear God's voice in the business arena and in the marketplace. We will also learn about the forces of the Spirit, such as the force of righteousness, force of faith, force of love, and so forth. We will also learn and understand how to apply the blood covenant. That's why Jesus came. He cut a covenant with the Father and He made a covenant with us. Because of this covenant, we have certain rights and privileges as children of God so that the kingdom can be manifested in the earth, so that God's will and purposes can be done in us and through us, and His kingdom be manifested in the earth. Without the blood covenant, we cannot be any of these things and we cannot do these things. We will also learn how to set workable goals for our lives, for our ministries and for our businesses. Goals that are in line with the will and purposes of God, as that is what we want to do. We want to please God. We will learn about the reality of the indwelling Holy Spirit, because He is the one that speaks to us. He is the one that guides us. He is the one that leads us into the truth. And as we know the truth, the Word says, we will be set free. It's not just the truth that sets us free. We quote that scripture incorrectly. It's as we know the truth that we are set free. The Word says that He is the Spirit of truth, that is the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, the Word says that He will lead us and guide us into the truth. Now, which truth am I speaking here? The truth of our lives. He will lead and guide us into the truth for our individual lives, the truth of the reality of the indwelling Christ, and the truth of God's dream and vision for our lives and our businesses. We need to walk in that truth, and we all need to discern and understand that somewhere in our hearts there may be a lie that we are believing and that we may have believed for a long time. However, through the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, these lies will be exposed and replaced with His truth. And thereby freedom comes, and we are free to walk in the will and purposes of God. We will also learn how to allow the force of wisdom to shape our future. You see, if we can understand what God is saying, if we can hear what He is saying, we can then have His vision. Scripture tells us that His wisdom is already in us because of Christ. He is our wisdom. We have the mind of Christ. And therefore, these things can shape our future by us prophetically and through the wisdom of God, declaring the word of God that He has given for our lives and our business, and walking in that which He has for us. God has a specific future for each one of us, and in Christ, that is already established. That future is established. So if we are called into business, so our future in business is already established. We have to just walk it out. However, we have a choice to walk in the wisdom. We can either follow man's ideas and follow our own wisdom and carnal unctions, or we can walk in God's wisdom and enjoy His full blessing. I will also speak about things such as debt and how to get out of debt and how to stay out of debt. We will learn how to use the system of the world without getting into bondage to that system. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And we need to be careful that we don't get used by the system. We need to use the system in a godly, honorable way for God's purposes, but not to be used by the system. We need to be able to move in that system. We will also learn what this new economy is, because we are certain that in this new dispensation, we are in a new area and a new era of economic wealth of the world. And we need to how to tap into that. We need to be able to understand how it works and be able to throw our net, to cast our net, and to get the wealth from the world. So let us start. I'm discussing with you repositioning for success in this new season. It is important for us that we understand at this juncture in history, and obviously in God's history, that we are in between seasons. We are in between seasons right now, right here in South Africa and the world in the year 2005. Let us look at an example. We all know that when summer is coming to an end, that there are certain signs in nature. We know that winter is on the way. How do we know that? We can actually see that. We understand it. We feel in the evening that it gets a bit chilly, and we might have to put on a sweater or a jacket or an overcoat. Maybe we need an extra blanket when we go to bed. We also see that some of the leaves on the trees are changing from a beautiful luscious green color to yellows and reds and oranges. But certainly we can see in the natural that the season is changing. Now, if we can discern these things in the natural, surely as children of God who are designed, we are made to hear God and to respond and resonate with His Spirit, then we must be able to see in the Spirit that there is a change of season. If you can't see it, I'm here to tell you tonight that we are at that change of season. It is important for us, because if we don't discern the change of season, we will miss God, because we will be incorrectly positioned. We will not go with the season. Historically and scripturally, we can see that there were many changes of season. There were times and seasons in Scripture, and these things are important that we understand. You just read through the Bible, you read history books, and you will see that there are changes of season and even dispensations, and we will talk a little bit about that. We need to discern these seasons because we need to reposition. When a tree doesn't bear any more fruit, and a certain animal eats of that fruit, and the season changes, and there's no more fruit on that tree, it doesn't help for that bird or that animal to go to that tree to try and eat the fruit. He has to reposition himself to find another tree that bears fruit in a different season. So this is what we have to do. When there is a change of season, we need to reposition so we can flow with the new season of God. You see, the new season is instigated, it's started, it's initiated by the Spirit of God, and when we don't hear the Spirit of God, we will not realign our lives accordingly. This is why people in business, and this includes Christians, many Christians, even ones who are not in business. They complain and they say things like, you know, I have been serving God faithfully for all these years, but I'm not enjoying His blessing on my life. This is probably because they are not lined up according to the seasons of God for their lives. And we're assuming that they don't have obvious sin in their lives. And so by not lining up with God's season, they're missing the season and they cannot cast their net properly, and so they cannot bring in a harvest. Our son Bobby, who presently lives in Holland, called us last night and he said that they just had more than 20 centimeters of snow. Well, 20 centimeters of snow, I think that's a lot of snow. I think in 1981, right here in South Africa, we had 20 centimeters of snow. That was quite something to behold, because nobody was used to it and all sorts of things happened and people had fun and didn't go to work and there were accidents and etc., etc. Because we don't know that kind of a thing. That kind of a season, we don't understand really. Apparently at this point in time in Holland, it is quite unusual for that amount of snow to fall at this time of year. And I think we should be glad that we don't have to endure that kind of weather and actually go out to work and maybe work outdoors and so forth. But I'm sure at this point in time you understand what I'm trying to get at about the different seasons. There are changes of season, and we need to understand that there is a change of season right now, spiritually speaking, and this is directly influencing the natural and the way that the world works. Scripture tells us that there is a time and season for everything. We read this in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 1, that there is a season for everything. The word says here in this verse, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Hear what it says, to everything there is a season. Everything, to your life, to your family, to your household, to your business. There is a season for your life. But within your life, there are seasons of your life. So within your entire life, within the lifespan of your business, there are different dispensations and seasons, and we need to understand that. Right now, there's a change of season worldwide, which is affecting everything around it, and we are directly influenced by it. So are our businesses. In the dispensations of God, in God's economy, in the whole plan of God, there are times and seasons, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. As the times and seasons change, we need to understand that our purpose is expanded. You hear what I'm saying? As the seasons change, our purpose is expanded. You see, God puts us in the earth with a purpose. And generally, all of us here should know what our purpose is. But as we go, and as we enter into the seasons of God, and as we walk deeper into God, God adds to our purpose. He already intended that before, but for us, we don't walk in the fullness of our purpose. So He adds to the purpose. He adds to the vision for our lives. And I'm sure we've all seen that at some point or another in our lives. There is one main core of purpose in our lives. And this is what He calls us. All of us are called to this. This is to be conformed to His image and to glorify Him in the earth. For our lives to be a worship unto Him and a praise unto Him. That's at the core of all of our lives. Everything else should flow out of that. As we sojourn in the earth, He adds to that and He expands the vision. The way that we are conformed to His image and the way that we glorify Him in the earth. Christ needs to be manifested. The image of Christ needs to be manifested in the business realm. And so that's how you and I will do that. That is how we go into the world, we go into the boardroom, and we reflect the image of Christ there. These additions to our purpose, if I can call them that, they come as new seasons and times into our lives. What you will find with every new season, you'll have to study, you will have to acquire new knowledge, you'll have to do different things. And this will expand who you are as a person, and will also expand your business and who you are as a business. In the same way that we see autumn and winter approaching in the natural, we can also see in the spiritual realm the approach of a new season. And that's the whole issue. If we as the church, as Christian believers, and as businessmen and women in the marketplace can discern the time and the season, we would be a lot more prosperous. Don't you agree? We'll be a lot more successful in our financial endeavors for the kingdom of God if we can see and understand the seasons and then change and flow with them. Just as there are times and seasons for us to go out and win souls, for instance. We've all had that. We sit in church. Who wants to go and win souls? So then we go out and we have an evangelistic campaign. We win many people to Christ. A lot of joy. And there's a time. We don't do that all the time necessarily in church. But just as there's a time to go out and win souls, there's, for instance, also a time and a season in our business that we need to go out and win souls or make disciples for our products. We go out and we market certain of our products. And interestingly enough, some products can be seasonal. Some products you will sell more of in summertime and less of in winter. And so in winter, then you need to sell different kind of products. If we don't understand these things, we obviously can lose a lot of money in our business. So if it is important for us to understand these things in the natural, how much more is this true in the spiritual? Because the natural seeing world comes out of the spiritual and was created by the spiritual. It is obvious, and it therefore stands to reason, that spiritual seasons must have a great impact on our lives. We need to draw close to God at this time and hear what He's saying. Now let me just share a few thoughts about the season that we are in at the moment. We are in God's dispensation, which is from the beginning of creation to the end of creation as we know it. So you must understand that. God always has been and He always will be, and that's God's dispensation. Even if He did not create us, there would be God's dispensation. However, before this dispensation that we're in, God already existed, and after that, God will continue to exist. Within this greater dispensation of God, He chose to create the dispensation of time within which you and I live. He put us into this dispensation of time. Within this dispensation of time, which obviously is also God's dispensation and is part of the overall dispensation, each individual human being, each nation, each country, and each continent has a dispensation within the greater dispensation of God. Within each one of these dispensations, in other words, for each individual human being, each family unit, each community, each church, and so on, there are individual dispensations. And in these dispensations, there are seasons. So within God's overall dispensation, He has seasons. And within the dispensations of nations, there are seasons. Within the communities and cities that are in those nations, there are dispensations and seasons. And so it comes right down to the dispensation and seasons in the life of an individual. Okay, what am I saying with this? My life, me, Jan van Rooyen, my life is a dispensation within the dispensation of God, just like yours. My dispensation touches the lives of my family, my wife, my children, my parents, and their individual dispensations. So there's an overlapping that takes place. Together as a family unit, together as a husband and a wife, for instance, there is a dispensation. But as we have seen over the years, within each one of these different dispensations, there are seasons which we have to line up with and which we have to flow with and which we have to understand. If a husband and wife have children, the husband and wife has a dispensation with seasons within that marriage, and each individual may have seasons, and then there's the children, each one of them has a dispensation within the dispensation of the family, and each one of those will have seasons that they do certain things where they have to grow in God and go forward and ahead. Right now in the church and in the world, there is a season we have entered into. And according to our calendar, the year 2000 or 2001 actually was the end of the previous millennium, and we have now entered into the new millennium. However, the new millennium didn't actually start at 2000, because you don't start counting at naught. In other words, we don't start counting naught, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In computer programming and technology, that is possibly more true. But we don't start counting years at the year naught. We don't do that. We start counting at 1. So the new millennium actually to our calendar started in 2001. And that's just some useless information for you. However, according to the Jewish calendar, the new millennium already started in 1995. Now, if we assume that the Jewish calendar is more accurate and is supposedly linked to the first day of creation, then right here in this year, 2005, we are already 10 years down the line. Now, not only are we in a new millennium, but let's look what Scripture says. God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. We also know from Scripture that the Lord says that one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as one day, or 1,000 years are as one day. Which means we're at the end of the sixth millennium, or the sixth day, according to scriptural mathematics. And we are entering into that seventh day of rest, or the seventh millennium, or the millennial reign of Christ. So we're right in between that, the sixth and the seventh millennium. We're right in there. And that should tell us that we can expect a whole lot of turmoil and a whole lot of changes in the world and in our personal lives. Not only are we at the end of those 6 years, or the sixth millennium, since Christ, it is 2,000 years since the birth of Christ. Now, Christ was crucified and he was buried, and he was raised on the third day by the Spirit of God. Which means he was 2 days in the grave and he was raised on the third day. It is now 2 days since Christ. And using the same scriptural mathematics, one day, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, one day. 2 millennia since the birth of Christ, and since he was crucified and died and so on, then we're entering into the third day. Now the third day is the day of resurrection. It's the day of Christ. It's the day of the manifestation of God's resurrection power. So we're entering into that third day, or the third millennium, which is a resurrection millennium. It's a resurrection anointing. The resurrection power of Christ. If he's going to rule and reign, then somewhere along the line we are about to enter into that. Now, I'm not here to proclaim dates and times, but I'm sure that you can clearly see that we're between the sixth millennium and the seventh millennium, and we're in that sliver of time where a lot of changes are going to take place. A lot of prophetic words are going to come to pass. In our personal lives, we need to specifically look to see that we are ready to line up with this dispensation. There's a great harvest of souls coming in at this time, and we know that. But to do these things, we need finances, and business. As business people, we need to support our churches. We need to support people out in the field, missionaries, etc. We need to be out there bringing in finances. And obviously, we're in business to make money so that our families and so on are taken care of. But praise God, we can live. We don't have to live so fantastically that we use up all the finances. If you're making millions every month, you can come out on quite a small amount of that. I'm trusting that we get to a place where we tithe 90% of our income and live on 10%. And I believe it's possible. In history, there have been a number of people in business that have succeeded at that. And we give the rest to the kingdom of God. That's what we want to do. But at this point in time, it's a time where we need to look at our lives and judge ourselves and see that our lives are lining up with Christ. Let us look at 1 Peter 4, verse 17. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. 1 Peter 4, 17 says, "For the time," you see, we're talking about time, "the time has arrived for judgment to begin with the household of God." The time has arrived. We're at a time. It's a critical time. That word judgment, there are two words used interchangeably for this word judgment. The one is krima, which means to declare a judgment, to make a judgment, to make a decision, as what a magistrate or a judge would do, and determine someone's future. And the other word in Greek is krisis, K-R-I-S-I-S, crisis. And obviously that's the word we get our word crisis from, which then says the time has arrived for crisis to begin with the household of God. Yes, it is a time of crisis. We need to look at ourselves. We need to look at our businesses. We need to look at our families. We need to look at our churches. Because there's a crisis at hand. Things are being shaken. Our lives are being shaken. Things are not the way they used to be. God is expecting us to expand our thinking. He's expecting us to expand our spirit to contain that which He wants for us, so that we can download from heaven. We can take that supernatural download from Him and accept it into our spirit, so that we can do that which He has called us to do at this time. For the time has arrived for crisis or judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the end of those who do not respect or believe or obey the good news of the gospel of God? We're supposed to be witnesses out there. We're supposed to show the world how things are done. And in the financial realm, unfortunately, I have to say that Christians have not always towed the line, and they have not always led the way it should be. It's a time of a change of season. It is a time where God wants us to look at our lives, to take stock of our purpose, the vision, the dreams that we have, the aspirations that we have. We need to discern this season. We need to discern how to enter into this season. We need to discern how to get into the season. God, what do you want me to do as a Christian? What do you want me to do as a believer at this time? What do you want me to do as a person in business, in the marketplace? As I said, in the same way that we see autumn and winter approaching us in the natural, we can see in the spiritual realm the approach of a new season. And there's scripture for that. Jesus says in Matthew 16, and let's read from verse 1. Excuse me. And the Pharisees and Sadducees came, and trying him, they asked him to show them a sign from heaven. Now there's a sign of unbelief already. We walk by faith and not by sight. But anyway, just apply this to your own life. I need to apply it to my own life. But Jesus answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the heaven is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the heaven is red and lowering. You know how to discern the face of the heaven, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign. And we need to look at our own hearts. Are we evil and adulterous in our hearts? We need to look and see if we are looking for signs. Are we walking by faith? And there shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of Jonah. And he left them and departed. Praise God. It is imperative that we discern the season. But the thing that is absolutely important is that we reposition our lives for this new season. The title of this message, as I started off, repositioning for success in the new season of God. We can discern the seasons, but if we don't walk by faith and act out by faith what God has told us to do in the new season, then we are going to miss it. And it is very important in business that we discern the seasons for our lives. I mean, we've seen and heard people that have had to change the name of companies, of their companies, change their product lines, complete new product lines, or add to their product lines. Sometimes it takes drastic measures. We've heard of people that have been full-time in the ministry for many, many years entering full-time into business. And we've heard full-time businessmen entering full-time into the ministry. And then we've had both. People are in ministry and in business at the same time. But it's because of a repositioning and an obedience because of what God is doing at this point in time. Let me use an illustration of a situation where somebody did not reposition for a new season. About 10, 15 years ago, a close family member of mine who's in business whose company was very successful at that point in time with a huge range of products. This person had a mailing list which they mailed out countrywide and also overseas, probably 20,000 plus. And they would advertise their products that way. They were very successful, still well known overseas to this present day, very well known, but a unique niche kind of market. But 10, 15 years ago, I went to the business and just for a visit, and I just sensed in my spirit that I needed to tell this man that he needed to use his mailing list to start advertising different products, that he needed to expand his products completely out of character of his present business. In other words, totally different products. Obviously, it could be related to his industry. And there was no real positive reaction from the person. And so I left it at that. But I really sensed in my spirit that there was a change of season coming. I couldn't exactly tell when it was going to happen. But yeah, from 1993, 94, 95, that change of season actually started manifesting in South Africa. And that change of season directly affected this man's business to the point where he almost lost his business. Yet, if he had brought in some extra products, if he had brought in a different product line and used that mailing list to advertise his product, he would have been fine. And they've had to downscale their business. They've downscaled once, they downscaled twice, and they're now on a tiny premises. And he's quite elderly, and he's still working in his business when he should be actually relaxing and enjoying the fruits of his labor. But I believe it has a direct correlation to him missing the season and hearing what God told him to do. Matthew 16. Jesus says, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the heaven is red, and in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the heaven is red and lowering. You know how to discern the face of the heaven, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. An evil and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of Jonah." The sign of Jonah, what did it represent? Prophetic type of the resurrection of Jesus, because he was 3 days in the belly of the whale and then was spat out. And Jesus was the third day he was spat out of the belly of the earth. But the point I'm trying to make here, we do not walk by signs. We walk by faith and by what we hear from God. Now, when Jesus spoke to these Pharisees and Sadducees, they would have repositioned themselves. In other words, if they were fishermen, for instance, the repositioning would be that they would reposition themselves for a specific day where they discern that they shouldn't go out to sea, that they would be involved in some other kind of business interest. So let's say they were fishermen. If they were fishermen, then they should be mending their nets on that day, because they discern that for that day they shouldn't go out to fish. They should reposition themselves and mend their boats, mend their nets, take care of their business interests and so on. And that is what we need to do as well. We need to discern what God is saying. Times and seasons, it is important. We need to become like the sons of Issachar. We need to discern accurately. And we don't have to be prophets to do that. Yes, prophets have their function in the church. And the prophetic gifts have their function in the church. But you and I have the Spirit of God within us, who by nature is prophetic. He says he will tell us of things to come. He will show us things to come. And therefore we need to see the changes in the times and seasons, see the things that are coming. Because otherwise we will be held responsible and accountable, because remember, our lives don't just affect our own lives, we affect our families, the people that work for us,
our communities, if we have a very big business that generates large sums of money, that business affects many people. And we will be held responsible for that. We must reposition for success. In Matthew 16, Jesus implicates here that the spiritual man should be able to discern the signs of the times. And the only way to do this would be by walking in the resurrection anointing of Jesus. We need to walk in the resurrection power. We need to take that resurrection power into the marketplace. Though there are people out there who are struggling. There are people who don't know God who are struggling. There are Christians out there who are struggling. But if we're walking in the anointing and the power of God, we can go into the marketplace and we can bring life. We can bring righteousness. We can bring the judgment of God. We can turn situations around. And we can turn this country around. Amen? Because we walk in the resurrection anointing of Christ. To everything there is a season and a time for every purpose under heaven. Ecclesiastes 3:1, as we already read. To everything there is a season. Everything. Every product that you have. Everything that you have in your store, in your company, in your organization, whether you sell information, whether you actually sell a product, whether you actually sell motor cars, tires, whatever it is, those things, there are seasons for those things. And there's a purpose for you to be in business. I'm stressing this point that we need to be able to discern. We must discern the times. We must discern the season. It is probably one of the greatest things that has caused failure for Christians, is not being able to discern the times because we don't hear the voice of God. Let's read Jeremiah 8 verse 7. It's a very interesting scripture. This has ministered to me tremendously. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Jeremiah 8 verse 7 reads like this. Yea, the stork in the heaven knows her appointed times. The simple bird that God created, beautiful bird, flies long distances. It says, the stork in the heaven knows her appointed times. Now I'm saying, if the stork knows her appointed times, how much more should you and I know our appointed times? We created in the image of God. We should hear His voice. The sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Or they should be led by the Spirit of God. The children of God must know the heart of their Father. The stork in the heaven knows her appointed times. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. Here in South Africa, we see the swallows. They start gathering on the telephone lines and all over the place, swarms, thousands of them. And then we know that winter is upon us and these birds migrate to other nations, to warmer climates. That's how we see there's a change of season. It's one of the ways we see it. Now, if the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, we should be too. He says here, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. And I look at myself. There are times in my life where I did not know the judgment of God. Now that judgment is not punishment. This judgment is the word mishpat. The Hebrew word mishpat. And it means the way that God thinks about things. In other words, the way God thinks about it in His heart and mind, and how He decides about things, how He judges. He makes a judgment. You and I make judgments every day. If we're driving down the road and there's a very slow car in front of us, we make a judgment. We make a decision. We look past the car and see how far the oncoming traffic is, and we make a judgment. We make a decision whether we should overtake the car in front of us. My people know not the judgment of God. Which means my people know not the way God thinks about things. Which means our minds are not renewed with the mind of Christ. Our minds are not renewed with the Word of God. But the Bible tells us that we have the mind of Christ. Why are we not walking in the mind of Christ? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16. Praise God. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 16 says the following. For who has known or understood the mind or the counsels or the purposes of the Lord so as to guide and instruct him and give him knowledge? But we have the mind of Christ the Messiah, and we do hold the thoughts and feelings and purposes of his heart. Can you imagine that? We have the mind of Christ because we have Christ within us. He lives within us. So we have the mind of Christ. But you know what our problem is? We do not tap into the mind of Christ. We do not tap into him who lives within our spirit. The mighty one who created the heavens and the earth. He dwells within us. He dwells within us. He dwells in your spirit. And if you listen to him, you'll discern the season and you'll know exactly how to reposition. You'll know exactly how to reposition your life to take advantage of the season, because God wants us to do that. You see, the stork, the animals out there, they know. They know their times and seasons, but God says we don't, because we don't know how he thinks. Now let's look at Isaiah 55. Just before we look at Isaiah 55, the tsunami that hit in December, that was the 26th of December, I believe, 2004. There were very few animals that were injured because they were not near the water. Many of the elephants, they were, found them in on high-lying areas because somehow they knew that there was this disaster going to take place. And that just proves again that animals, God's creation, they know, these animals know what's going to happen. They listen to the Spirit of God because God's in control. God says that a swallow or a bird will not fall to the ground without him knowing it. He feeds the lilies of the fields. He takes care of them. How much more? We should know the judgments or the thoughts of God and the way he thinks about it. Let's look at Isaiah 55 from verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Are you listening to that? Let the wicked forsake his way, excuse me, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. If your thoughts and my thoughts, if our thoughts do not align with the thoughts of God, we are unrighteous. I can't tell you whether you're unrighteous or not. You need to discern. You need to spend time in the Word. You need to spend time with God to find out if your thoughts are unrighteous. Then it says, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have love, pity, and mercy for him, and to our God, for he will multiply to him his abundant pardon. Then he says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Of course. Because if our thoughts are not lined up with the Word of God, our thoughts are not his thoughts. Our ways are not his ways. You see, our ways, that's how we act out what we believe in our hearts. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So he will do those things which his heart prompts him to do. But as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So in other words, we must cause our thoughts to line up with the will and purposes of God. We must cause our thoughts to line up with his word and fill ourselves with it, because we will become like that word. The living word, Christ, the living word, will live in us and will manifest in us. We will be conformed to his image. And as we are conformed to his image and become more and more like him, we, our ways will line up with God's ways. Our thoughts will line up with God's thoughts. It doesn't say here that we can't have his thoughts and that we cannot do his ways. That's why Jesus came, because he wants us to walk like him. I mean, it says when we're born again, the New Testament tells us those who are born again. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your spirit man is completely recreated. You are a brand new creature in Christ. Therefore, you can have his thoughts and you can walk in his ways. You can manifest the mind of Christ. Amen. Verse 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Again, it doesn't say that you can't walk in these higher ways and that you can't think these higher thoughts. When we are walking unrighteously, as it says in verse 7, the unrighteous man must forsake his thoughts. You see, when you walk in that unrighteousness, when your mind is not renewed with the Word of God, if you're not renewed in the spirit of your mind, then God's ways are higher than your ways, and his thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Verse 10, for as the rain and the snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void without producing any effect, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. So you've become full of the Word of God. You start walking in the Word. You start thinking the thoughts. That Word that is manifesting in you, that'll come out of your mouth. What the heart is full of, the mouth will run over with. And you will prophesy and declare your own future. That Word will not return void. And maybe at some stage we'll get into the teaching that you are actually a Word out of the mouth of God. Christ is the Word. Christ came as the Word, the creative Word of God. He is the Word of God. But you and I are in Christ. But God also spoke us into the earth. He released us into the earth. And so we're a Word out of the heart of God. And so you will accomplish that which he sent you forth to do. But you've got to enter into that by faith. But we'll get into that. In this passage about the stalk, Jeremiah 8:7, Jeremiah appeals to the obedience which migratory birds rendered to the law of their natures. God placed this ability within their beings to fly to Palestine and arrive there around about March the 21st. Now can you imagine this? There's a stalk flying in the heavens and it arrives in Palestine March 21. This bird can't read, by the way. This bird has never seen a calendar. I mean, their lifespan, I don't know how long they live, maybe 15 years, 20 years or something. Some of these birds get quite old. But they can't read. But you know what? They arrive in Palestine more or less March 21. And after a rest of about 6 weeks, they then know that Europe is now warm, and then they depart for Europe, northern Europe, where the climate is a lot warmer. Can you imagine this? This bird. God has placed this ability within their beings to fly to Palestine, arrive there March 21, rest for 6 weeks, and then fly to the warm areas of northern Europe. If they can, you and I can. If they can discern, you and how much more can you and I discern? The Spirit of God lives within us. We're created in the image of God. We should be able to discern and reposition. You see how beautifully this bird repositions itself? Flies to Palestine, stays there for 6 weeks, then flies to northern Europe. And so, obviously, at the end of the warm season there, it'll fly back and rest again and so on. But it knows exactly when to do that. These birds fly during daytime at great altitudes, or in the heavens, as the scripture says. The air or the heavens is the element they were created to dwell in. That's where they fly, that's where they thrive, that's where they move with great speed. They move ahead to their new season. They move ahead in that new season. This element, the air, that they, the heavens, provides for their safe passage from one country to another, or from one season to another. And from the heavens, they can see where they are able to rest safely and feed without being endangered. You and I were created by God to dwell in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit. To be fed by the Spirit, to be nurtured by the Spirit of God. That's our element. And the same way as the stork can change season and flies in the heavenly realms, you and I need to be in the Spirit. Because as we enter into the Spirit, as we remain in the Spirit, as we walk in the Spirit, as we listen to God, as we dwell in His Word and keep our hearts close to His and keep our ear close to His mouth so we can hear what He's saying, we will have a safe passage from one season to another. And from that position in the Spirit, we'll be able to see where we can land, where we can be restored, where we can be refueled, where we can just wait on God. You see, when you're in the Spirit, you can discern things. And that's what we need to do. Just because we're in business does not mean that we are not holy or anything. For too long, churchianity or religion has frowned upon people in business. Money is evil and etc. It's the love of money that's evil. The love of money, the scripture says, is the root of all evil. It's a holy thing to work with your hands. It's a holy thing to work. God wants us to work. God wants us to be creative. And He wants us to be successful in our businesses. But we need to do it in the Spirit so we can discern the seasons. We were created for the spiritual realm where God dwells. In the same way the migratory birds were created to live in the heavens, you and I were created to live our lives in the spiritual realm. The spiritual realm is the realm where God lives in, where He sustains everything with His love, His light, His life, and His presence. Now, the currency of exchange in the spiritual realm is our faith. And our faith also comes from God. And we'll get into that in our next session and show you how God has given us faith and that it is faith that we exchange. That's the means of exchange. The same way as money is a means of exchange in the natural. God expects us to walk by faith as we release our faith, and God provides from the spiritual. We take things from the spiritual realm into the natural through our faith by believing the Word of God. But just to get back to the seasons, let's take a look at Romans 12. From verse 1. Now remember, we are talking about a repositioning for success. Now probably the question that we are asked the most as we minister is, how can I discern the will of God? How can I hear the voice of God for my life? How can I understand what God's plan for my life is? And here is the key. You see, it's wonderful if we discern the signs of the times, if we discern the new season. It's wonderful. But we need to discern how to reposition. In other words, we need to discern at that point in time what God is saying to us. How do we reposition? How do we get to the place? What is the place that God wants us? Where is the place in the natural He wants us? Where does He want us spiritually? Does He want us to move? Does He want us new products? What does He want us to do? Does He want to improve our service and our business? What is it that He wants us to do? We need to hear that. We need to discern the will of God for our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul says, I appeal to you therefore, brethren, and I beg of you in view of all the mercies of God to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. That's the first thing. We need to dedicate everything, all that we are, as human beings, as business people, as Christians. We dedicate our entire lives to Him. He says here we need to present all our members, our bodies, as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to Him. He says it is your reasonable service and spiritual worship. We need to dedicate to Him our entire lives as believers, as business people, people in the marketplace. Our businesses, whatever we involved, everything that represents our lives, we need to dedicate to Him. He says that is a reasonable thing. That's a reasonable thing. And that's the first thing He says here. He says we need to make a decisive dedication. We need to make a decision once and for all and say, we are going to do our business according to God's principles. We are going to do our business according to the way Scripture dictates, according to the way the Spirit of God dictates us to do that. No other way. We will not compromise. It doesn't matter what we are offered, no matter what bribes come our way, it doesn't matter what anybody tries to tell us. We will do it God's way. That's the dedication. That's a once and for all decision that you make. You're going to do it that way. And that comes before verse 2. Well, normally one comes before two. Amen. It's verse 2 says, do not be conformed to this world. Now that world, that word world is not the earth. It's not this ball in space that we walk around on. It's a different word. It means this world system. It means, and the Amplified says, this age. Or this dispensation. Do not be conformed to this dispensation or this system. The system of thinking. The system of doing out here. Many people appears to be successful. They appear to be successful in business. They have lots of money. They have vehicles. They have whatever their hearts desire. But are they doing it according to God's principles or are they doing it according to the world's system, the way of thinking? You can be in business and do it according to God's way. Do not be conformed to this world or this age. Do not be fashioned after it and adapt to its external superficial customs, but be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind. And it says, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's the secret to knowing the will of God. First, you dedicate your entire life to Him. Then, you are not conformed to this world or fashioned after this dispensation or this way, the system, the way it works, the way they think in that system, because there's a godly way to do it, and we know we can think God's thoughts. But be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind. That word renewal there, the entire renewal of your mind. Do you know what that means? We've all seen, or we all have a couch in our house, or we've seen somebody that has an old couch in the lounge, and then they say that they're going to renovate it. And what happens? They take it to the renovator, or they renovate it themselves, and the first thing you do is you pull off the old cloth, you pull out all the pins and the tacks, you pull them off, pull off the cloth, and then it reveals the padding underneath, whether it's a cloth kind of padding and sponge and different kinds of padding. Then you strip the padding off. Then you look at the wooden frame underneath and you see if the pins and the nails and the screws and brackets and so on that this whole thing contains to keep it together and to keep it strong. You see if it's all still okay, if it's rusted or broken, you replace them. If there are parts of the wooden structure that are broken, a brand new piece is placed in place of the old one. And we make sure that that old structure is steady and sturdy. Once we've done that, what we now do, we reverse the process. We get new padding where there's new padding needed, and we pad the thing, we attach the padding securely onto the thing, and then finally what we do is get a beautiful new style cloth, and we put it over, and we cover the cushions that are the pillows that are on the couch and so on. And then you look at this couch and it looks like brand new. In fact, if you go and smell it, it smells like one that comes straight out of off the showroom's floor. Brand new, it looks like it. But in fact, it has been renewed or renovated. And so what God wants us to do, He wants to renovate our minds. You can go and look that up in your Strong's Concordance. That word renewal, to have your mind renewed, is to have your mind renovate. You see, when we are born again, we are born again in our spirit. Your mind is not born, is not born again. Your spirit is born again. You become a new creature, entirely new in your spirit. But your mind, in the same way as your outside did not change. If you were blonde before you got born again, you were blonde afterwards. You still had the same eye color, you looked the same, and so on. If you were bald, you still had no hair. But something happened in your spirit. And what you realize all of a sudden is that there's things coming up from your spirit and telling your mind to change, convicting your mind, convicting your heart, telling you don't do this anymore, don't do that. That's the Spirit of God. But now for us to completely understand what we're supposed to do, we need to renovate our minds. You see, we have to do the renovating. We have to do that. We have to renovate our minds. We have to renovate the way that we think. We have to change the way that we think. Let me just check another scripture here. Now let's check another scripture for you. Amen. Let's look at Proverbs 10, verse 20. Now, keep in mind that by renewing your mind, remember Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, by renewing your mind, you will prove for yourself what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By renewing your mind, getting your heart, your spirit, and your mind in agreement. Because the Godhead bodily dwells in your spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in your spirit. Jesus, who is the Word, dwells in your spirit. And He wants that Word to come forth and manifest in your life. But you will not do anything if your heart and your mind are not in agreement. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. But you need to renew your mind. Now, let's look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 20. Now, the second part, let's look at the second part of verse 20 of Proverbs 10. It says, the mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. You see that? The mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. Obviously, it's of little value to protect you, to lead you in the righteous paths of God, to keep you healthy, keep you healed, to keep your relationships going well, to keep you well in your job, etc. It's of little value to do that. But we're in business, so let's take it a little step further. Where are we today? One of the most expensive commodities today is information. People sell information. The whole internet is based on information. People sell information for vast, vast amounts of money. Information is worth extreme amounts of money in today's economy. That's why we talk about the new economy. I mean, in our own country, we have Mark Shuttleworth, who came up with a product to protect people's information on the internet as they would do transactions, as they would purchase things. He wrote a program that would protect people's information securely, and that was bought for millions upon millions of dollars, not even rands. It was bought in dollars. So what I'm saying, the mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. Let's change it around. The mind of those who are righteous and in harmony of God is of much value. You see, God can give you an understanding. God can give you insight in your business. He can give you information that you can turn into wealth for yourself. You see, you're allowed to sell your ideas. See, God understands the economy. God understands the internet. He understands everything. He understands that we need to make a living. He wants more than us to preach the gospel. He wants those unsaved people saved. So he will give you information that will become worth something. So not only for you as an individual in your relationships, as I said, you know, spirit, your soul, your body, and so on. Not only spiritual things. But God can give you information that can become of much value. And that lines up again now, as we saw with Isaiah 55, that we need to, the unrighteous need to forsake their thoughts. The mind of those who are wicked and out of harmony with God is of little value. So we can say the mind of those who are righteous and in right standing with God and walking in His ways and have their minds and hearts renewed with the Word of God are in harmony with God and is of much value. Amen? So it is imperative that we do that. It is imperative that together with this change of season that we discern how we're supposed to reposition. You see, the scripture tells us, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. But it also says in scripture, my people perish for a lack of vision. And we'll still get into those. You must have knowledge of your vision. So if you're a computer expert, you need to know how to work computers. You can dream and see yourself like Bill Gates, mighty in finances. But if you don't have knowledge, that knowledge will not be turned into wealth for you. So in other words, in this time of repositioning, we need to understand that there's purpose in this repositioning, that we need to readjust our purposes, we need to see what God wants for us, that there's a time and a season for us to do different things, and we need to line up with what He has for us. We want to generate much finances for the kingdom of God. We don't want greed and lust to overtake our lives. We want God to control the finances in us and through us. We want to be good stewards for the kingdom of God. But if we miss the season, we'll be out of the will of God. And when you're out of the will of God, it's a difficult situation to be in because you're an open target. So it's an important time. It's an important time to make decisions. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for what You've given us tonight. Father, thank You that we can reposition at this time under the unction and the leading of Your Spirit. Father, I thank You that each one under the sound of my voice, present here tonight, listening to this tape, I thank You, Lord, that You help us and guide us to accurately reposition in this new season, accurately to discern this new season. Father, we thank You for a fresh unction. Thank You for a fresh anointing that You're releasing upon our lives so we can do this. Repositioning for success in this new season. Lord, we just give You praise. We give You honor and glory. Thank You, Father, for this beautiful, beautiful time. Thank You, Lord. This is an exciting time. It's an exciting time for us, Father. And we know, Lord, You only want the best for us. Father, we do not have to look to the future in fear. But we can look in faith because we look at You. We keep our eyes on You. We keep our eyes on Your Word. We keep our eyes close to Your Spirit. And Father, we thank You that as we go from here, we will go and accomplish that which You've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.